The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're tackling a topic that, well, it's kind of the hidden engine of modern life: algorithms.
Right. And for a lot of people, that word algorithm sounds, I don't know, a bit scary. Technical.
Definitely. Like some kind of complex math thing locked away in a computer.
And that's precisely the perception that Panos Lauridas challenges in his fantastic book, Algorithms. Our goal today is really to demystify it for you.
Yeah, to show that this kind of systematic thinking isn't just for programmers. It's logical, it's elegant, and honestly, it's something you probably use every day without even realizing it.
Because let's face it, algorithms aren't just theory anymore.
Yeah.
They're shaping what news you see, the route your GPS picks.
Even things like loan applications or job opportunities, they're sort of these invisible, powerful forces.
Absolutely. Which means understanding them, having what we might call algorithmic literacy, is becoming vital. It's almost like needing to read and write in the digital age. You need to grasp the rules governing your world.
So who's our guide through this? Who is Panos Lauridas?
Well, he's an associate professor over at the Athens University of Economics and Business. He focuses on management science and technology.
Ah, okay. So not purely computer science.
Exactly. And that's what makes his perspective so valuable, I think. He's right there at the intersection where, you know, computer science meets software engineering meets actual business applications.
So he connects the dots between the abstract code and the real-world impact.
Precisely. He's not just writing for other academics. He's really skilled at translating these complex computational ideas into something accessible for a general audience, showing how they apply to strategy, decision-making, life, really.
Makes him a pretty ideal guide for this topic, then.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's get into the book's main idea. What's the core argument Lauridas is making?
Well, the big takeaway, and it's quite profound when you think about it, is that algorithms aren't really new. They're not just computer code.
Meaning,
he argues they're fundamental problem-solving tools, like a core part of human logic that goes back millennia. Think less about Python and more about a recipe. A precise step-by-step recipe for achieving something specific.
Like a cooking recipe or navigating by the stars.
Exactly. Those are forms of algorithmic thinking. The book actually takes you on this amazing journey from ancient Greece with Euclid.
Right, like 2,500 years ago.
All the way to modern AI and even quantum algorithms. It's a huge sweep of history.
And the point isn't just to learn facts. Right. It's about changing how you think.
That's the core goal. To cultivate this algorithmic literacy, to give you a mental model for breaking down complex problems, any problem, really into manageable logical steps.
And he does this by walking us through the building blocks like searching, sorting.
Yeah, searching and sorting. How we measure efficiency. That's big O notation, which sounds scary but isn't.
We'll get into that, I promise.
Uh-huh. And things like graph theory for modeling networks and even exploring the limits of what computers can ever do.
Okay, let's start way back then. With those ancient roots. You said an algorithm is like a recipe, but more formal.
Right. Lauridas lays out four key characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be precise, no ambiguity in the steps.
Okay. Clear instructions.
It has to be finite. It must eventually stop. No infinite loops.
Got it. Guaranteed to finish.
Then effectiveness. Each step has to be basic enough that it can actually be done. You can't have a step like solve world hunger.
Huh. Right. Needs to be practical.
And finally, determinism. Same input, same output. Every single time. Predictable.
Okay, precise, finite, effective, deterministic. That really clarifies it. And the earliest example
goes way back to Euclid, around 300 BC. His algorithm for finding the greatest common divisor of two numbers. It's ancient, but it perfectly ticks all those boxes.
Amazing. It shows this isn't a new way of thinking, just maybe a new application of it.
Exactly. And even the word algorithm itself has history. It comes from the name of the 9th century Persian scholar, Muhammad ibn Musa al-Khwarizmi.
Wow. So the name is over 1,000 years old for an idea that's even older.
Yep. Which brings us nicely into the science of doing things efficiently with algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the workhorses, searching and sorting data.
We all do this instinctively, right? If I lose my keys, I just look everywhere, one spot after another.
That's linear search. And it works fine for keys. But imagine searching a million files that way.
Yeah.
Or a billion. It gets incredibly slow.
Painfully slow. So what's the alternative?
Well, think about looking up a name in an old phone book. You wouldn't start at A and read every name, would you?
No, I'd open it somewhere in the middle.
Right. That's the core idea behind binary search. You jump to the middle, see if your target is before or after, and instantly eliminate half the problem. Then you do it again with the remaining half.
And again, cutting it down dramatically each time.
Exactly. And that difference in approach, that efficiency gain, is what Big O notation helps us measure.
Okay, Big O. It sounds technical, but you said it's not just about speed.
Correct. It's not about seconds or minutes. It's about how the algorithm's runtime or memory usage grows as the amount of data grows.
Ah, so how it scales.
Precisely. A linear search, the check everything method, is called ON. Double the data, you roughly double the time.
Makes sense.
But binary search is O log N logarithmic. Doubling the data adds maybe one extra step, because you keep having the search space.
So with huge amounts of data, like billions of items, the difference between O and a log N isn't just faster, it's
It's the difference between possible and impossible, between seconds and potentially years. The cleverness of the method swamps the speed of the hardware for big tasks. That's the key insight.
That's huge. Method over raw power. Okay, so we've sorted lists. What about connecting things, like networks?
Right. Our world is interconnected, social networks, roads, the internet itself. That's where graph theory comes in.
And graphs are just dots and lines.
Basically, yes, nodes or vertices, those are the dots, and edges the lines connecting them. It's a super flexible way to model relationships and systems.
And how does that help us practically, like getting coffee faster?
Exactly. Your GPS uses Dijkstra's algorithm. It works on a graph model of the road network.
Where roads are edges and intersections are nodes.
You got it. And Dijkstra systematically finds the shortest path between two nodes, considering things like distance, speed limits, maybe even traffic. Those are the weights on the edges.
Wow, so that complex math is running every time I ask for directions.
Pretty much. Another giant example was Google's original PageRank.
Ah, how they first ranked websites.
Yeah. They treated the entire web as a massive graph. Pages were nodes, links were edges. PageRank didn't just count how many links pointed to a page.
He looked at the importance of the pages doing the linking, right?
Exactly. A link from an important page counted more. It was this recursive, algorithmic definition of authority. Totally changed search. Okay, so that brings us more towards the modern cutting edge, where algorithms start to learn. Machine learning.
Yeah, ML. This feels like a really big shift. We go from giving the computer exact step-by-step
To
instructions.
giving it data and letting it figure out the patterns or rules for itself.
How does that work, basically?
Well, Lourdes explains the main type simply. There's supervised learning. I think of it like teaching a kid flashcards. You show the algorithm data and the correct answers.
Like tagging photos. This is a cat. This is a dog.
Or email spam detection. You feed it thousands of emails already labeled spam or not spam. It learns the features, words, sender patterns associated with spam.
Okay, so it learns from labeled examples. What's the alternative?
Unsupervised learning. Here, you just give the algorithm the data, no labels, and say, find interesting structures or patterns.
Like finding groups.
Exactly. Customer segmentation is a classic example. Grouping customers based on purchasing habits, without knowing beforehand what those groups might look like, it finds the hidden clusters in the data.
That's powerful. But the book doesn't just celebrate the power, does it? It also talks about limits. Alan Turing.
Right. This is a crucial, maybe even philosophical point. Alan Turing's work, especially on the halting problem.
What is the halting problem in simple terms?
Okay, imagine you could write a super program, a program that could look at any other program and its input and tell you, without actually running it, whether that other program would eventually finish or just run forever in an infinite loop.
Like a perfect bug checker.
Sort of, but more fundamental. Turing proved mathematically that such a universal halting problem detector cannot exist. It's impossible.
Wow, so there are well-defined questions that no computer, no algorithm can ever solve.
That's the implication. It sets a fundamental boundary on computation. Not everything is computable, even in theory. It's a dose of humility in the face of seemingly infinite computing power.
That idea of boundaries is a great lead-in to the book's main themes. What are the big messages Lourdes wants us to take away?
I think the first and maybe most empowering is the universality of algorithmic thinking. It's not some alien skill just for coders.
It's a human thing.
It's a fundamental human way of thinking. You already break down tasks, plan sequences. The book encourages you to just do it more consciously. Apply it to planning a project, writing an essay, anything complex.
Okay, theme one. It's universal. What's next?
Theme two is the sheer power of systematic decomposition. breaking big, scary problems down.
Instead of being overwhelmed by the whole thing.
Exactly. Got a huge goal. Starting a business. Don't just stare at it. Use algorithmic thinking. What's step one? Step two, what are the smaller, manageable parts? It makes the complex doable.
That makes sense. Game three.
This one's interesting. The link between algorithms and data structures. The algorithm is the process, the steps. The data structure is how you organize the information the process works on.
Like using a list versus a spreadsheet versus a database.
Precisely. And the book emphasizes they're symbiotic. A brilliant algorithm running on badly organized data will still be slow and inefficient.
So how you structure your stuff matters just as much as how you process it. Like organizing your physical files makes finding things faster.
That's a perfect analogy. And finally, theme four, the balance between automation and human judgment, especially with AI and ML.
Algorithms are tools, not replacements.
Right. They amplify what we can do, but they need oversight. We need to be mindful that they don't just encode and scale up existing human biases hidden in the data they're trained on. We need ethical considerations.
That's a critical point. The book also seems to have some really memorable ways of phrasing these ideas.
Oh, definitely. There's some great lines. I liked his simple definition. An algorithm is a recipe for solving a problem, but unlike cooking recipes, it must be precise, unambiguous, and guaranteed to terminate.
That nails it. Precision, clarity, finiteness. Another one I thought was insightful was about the real power. The real power of algorithms lies not in their ability to perform calculations quickly, but in their capacity to break down complex problems into manageable steps that can be understood and improved.
Yeah, it shifts the focus from raw speed to structured thinking. It's about clarity and improvement, not just calculation.
And this one feels like a call to action for everyone. The future belongs not to those who can write algorithms, but to those who can think algorithmically about the challenges they face.
I love that. It democratizes the skill. It's about the mindset, not just the coding ability.
Okay, let's make this really concrete. How can someone listening apply this algorithmic thinking, say, tomorrow?
Well, take personal decisions. Choosing between job offers.
Yeah.
Don't just go with your gut. Try an algorithmic approach.
You need making a list.
More structured. Define your criteria, salary, commute, work-life balance, whatever matters to you. Assign weights. Score each offer systematically. That's applying optimization thinking from the book to your life.
A comparison matrix, basically.
Yeah.
Deconstructing the decision.
Exactly. Or professionally, think about how you manage digital information. Are you just endlessly scrolling through emails or files, doing a linear search?
Guilty as charged sometimes.
Well, could you structure it better? Use folders, tags, sorting methods. Apply those efficient search and sort principles to your own workflow.
Make your own data easier to access. And what about interacting with the digital world, recommendation systems?
That's a huge one for digital citizenship. Understand that recommendation algorithms, YouTube, Netflix, news feeds, are usually optimized for engagement, for keeping you watching or clicking.
They create filter bubbles.
They can, yeah. Knowing that allows you to be more conscious. You can actively seek out different perspectives, step outside the algorithmic recommendations sometimes. Deconstruct your information diet.
Become a more critical consumer of algorithmically curated content. That's really practical.
It is.
So wrapping up, what was the biggest surprise or takeaway for you from Lourdes's perspective?
For me, honestly, it was the halting problem. That deep dive into the fundamental limits of computation. It's easy to think computers can solve anything given enough power.
But Turing showed that's not true.
Exactly. There are inherent boundaries. It adds this layer of philosophical depth that I found really fascinating. A necessary check on techno-optimism, perhaps?
Yeah, that's profound. For me, it was probably the historical sweep, connecting Euclid in ancient Greece directly to the algorithms running my GPS today.
Right. It reframes algorithms not as a modern tech invention, but as this continuous thread of human ingenuity stretching back thousands of years.
Makes you see problem solving differently, which I guess leads to the final thought. Lourdes really makes the case that understanding this stuff isn't just interesting, it's becoming a form of power.
Civic power, absolutely. In a world increasingly run by algorithms, being algorithmically literate means you're not just a passive user being acted upon by these systems.
You can understand them, question them, participate in conversations about how they should be designed and governed. Transparency, fairness, bias.
Exactly. It shifts you from being just a consumer to being an informed citizen. And that feels like a really important takeaway for everyone listening.
A powerful place to end. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.